Hello and welcome to the Sydney Institute podcast. The Institute is Australia's premier current affairs forum. Every week, contemporary political, social, cultural, and economic issues are explored at the Institute through dialogue and discussion. This podcast was recorded recently at a members' forum in the city of Sydney. Thanks for listening, and for more information about the Sydney Institute, please visit www.thesydneyinstitute.com.au. We hope you enjoy this event.
Thanks for coming along tonight and welcome to this evening's function. Thanks also to Gilbert and Tobin for providing this great facility for us this evening. Tonight's occasion is the launch of Noel Beddoe's book, The Elder Crossing, which has recently come out, University of Queensland Press. Noel makes a welcome return to the Institute. He spoke here some years ago about his contribution to the book on fathers, and the launch is going to be done by Linda Burney, who also makes a welcome return to the Sydney Institute. She spoke here some years ago about Aboriginal education. I'll introduce both our speakers briefly. Linda Burney's known to you well. She's got a background in education, senior positions in the public service. Then she went into politics as the MLA for Canterbury in 2003. She held senior positions in the recent Labor government and now is the deputy leader of the Labor opposition and a well-known public figure nationally. Noel Beddoe's published works include 5 books of fiction for teenagers, the novel Autumn, the memoir Dad and Me, as well as short fiction, poetry and journalism. He lived and worked for 12 years in Narrandera, a township in the riverine country of New South Wales, and he now lives with his wife on the state's south coast. So as I said, it's the occasion of the launch of his novel. I have a couple of messages to read. There are a few people who want to send their apologies. They just couldn't get here tonight. Dennis Osborne and Susan Osborne, Gary and Heather Bailey, Tom and Anne Ryan, and the Madonna Duffy from UQP, University of Queensland Press, couldn't make it. She sent a note saying it's a great book, and we'll hear now why this is a great book from Linda Burney, who's going to do the launch, and then we'll lead straight into Noel Beddoe, and then Noel will take some questions. Linda, thank you.
Can't see over that, but you'll have to look around the screen there. Look, thank you very much, Jeremy, for that introduction and that welcome. Balam Ambul Gadigal, Balam Ambul Wiradjuri, Yinyamara, Nyadu, Yirrabang, Murang. I pay my respect to the ancient Gadigal and Wiradjuri, and I say this good evening. Let me begin by recognising country and saying how much it means to me that Noel Beddoe has invited me to launch his novel, The Elder Crossing. This book is about many things, and one of them is truth-telling. The capacity of a place to know and own its truth brings about a common purpose and a common understanding amongst the people of that place. It is a fundamental plank to reconciliation. Can I also recognise both Gerard and Anne Henderson, the Lyons family, whom I know have made an enormous effort to get here, some very significant Wiradjuri people, including Linda and Anne Coe. Can I also recognise Noel and Vivian and Danny Gilbert and many other significant people that are here this evening, but particularly the Wiradjuri women in particular that are here. It's a great honour to be and speak in front of you. I have known Noel and his family for many, many years. I admire him enormously, and our friendship and professional respect for each other has endured distance, time, changes of professions, personal and family challenges, and the ups and downs of politics. Can I also pay my deep respect to the peoples that this book is about. It is difficult, everyone, to know where to start to talk about the Elder Crossing. Perhaps I should begin by describing how I approached reading this book. The author's note tells us it is fiction based on real events and is about the Second Wiradjuri War, which occurred between 1836 and 1842, with the terrible culmination on Murdering Island on the Murrumbidgee River, where 70 people were killed. Firstly, I read the pages 1 through to 220. Then when I got to chapter 22, titled Young James's Record of the Second Wiradjuri War, I could not continue. And then I went to page 264, when young James walks back into Yalda waters after many years. I then let the book sit beside my bed for some time, not wanting to read about the terrible deed we knew was waiting inside those covers. Last Sunday afternoon, my house was still, so I read the part that I'd not been able to. I did not read it once, but twice, and some parts of it three times. Why did I read the book in that order? I, like a number of other Aboriginal people here this evening, am Wiradjuri, including my friend Lynette Riley. The events being described were real events, and they happened to our ancestors, our relatives. The Yalda Crossing was not just about another novel. I knew the country where this novel was set. I swam in that river as a child, as I know some of you did as well. Our country, Wiradjuri territory, is bound by three rivers, the Lachlan, the Macquarie, and the Murrumbidgee. In our language, they are the Galari, the Wumble, and the Murrumbidgee. I am from the Murrumbidgee end of the Wiradjuri territory. It is the individual actions of little Sean and young James in this part of Yalda Crossing that speak to me the most powerful, the loudest in the whole book. But I will come to that. Noel Beddoe has penned this book magnificently. You can hear and feel the Firebird whinny and stamp when James and his father go to the O'Dowds property to buy the horses. You can feel the cold in the attic where young James Beckett reads and relives his life after the chance encounter on a stairwell at the quay with Hugh Lancaster on that misty, rainy day. You can feel the love grow and the need for softness by James for Harriet, from Harriet, his father's partner. Young James's description of Harriet captures that. He says of her, "Then I see her turn to me in just a moment and look at me, and my heart comes to my mouth. She's lovely." But most of all, you can smell the bush and hear the birds. This description I loved. Birds were awake and calling. They heard the scoffing of the laugh of the kookaburras, the screeching of the parrot. They could see the splotched shape of trees, deeper shadows and a spread out stain of the surface of the billabong. You could imagine the magical laughter of the Wiradjuri children. Most significantly, you felt the wrath and the embrace of the land at the same time. Of course, it is the land and the conflict over land use and how ownership of land is perceived that brings us to that terrible event on Harriet's Island. An island young James Beckett mapped and named in the book, but of course we know it as Murdering Island. For me, the Yalda Crossing is about human relationships and the consequences of the choices we make as individuals. And of course, at its heart, it is about the violence of frontier life, not just about between black and white relationships, but all relationships. The descriptions of one death in this book of a white man graphically demonstrates this. I won't read it all, but let me read some of it. He fired and the smash of the detonation rolled across the grasslands. Young James looked at what happened to the convict's skull and went to Webb's log and sat on it. He looked at his boots. Blood had splashed across them and thin slivers of skull bone, threads of grey matter from the brain. In a moment he heard another shot. He reached forward and vomited again. There is also great moments of tenderness and friendship in Yalda Crossing, the grudging acknowledgement by the captain towards his son, young James, the love between the captain and Harriet, and between young James and Harriet, the relationship between Lancaster the Scout and young James, but importantly, the relationship that grows between young James and the local Wiradjuri, especially Tomawira and his wife Kordarung and their baby son Potha, and the important and powerful Wirangaline. Over the time, I have spoken and written myself about qualities that I believe make a good person. The qualities that a person people look to and believe in. One of those qualities is grace. So much of Noel Beddoe, the Yalda Crossing, is about grace, the pursuit of grace. There is a description in the book of what grace is. It is young James talking to the scout. He said this: "It means living without fear or anger, finding what you have enough, though it may be very little, finding that you have enough, but it may be very little, loving without envy. I think it means being calm about life, turning to others with generosity and kindness. I think the Wiradjuri have come to grace." Honestly, the scout then says, "So they may have, as long as they are left alone. And therein lies the tragedy of that was only ever going to end one way." Can I come to the moment in this book that caused me to stop breathing for a moment? The hunting party had been put together. The captain had divided the men into groups and given them their instructions. And each man had a decision to make. Would they go or not? The very big questions is, what would young James do? I will not tell you what he does, but I will tell you what another man decides. It is a character that we meet very early in the book, a very young, angry Irishman called Little Sean. And he said this: "I'll not do as you've directed." He was big and still in the moonlight. My father moved his shoulders as if to say, "We all have our decisions. You'll make yours." Then Little Sean says, "I'll face any man to hold what's mine, but what you'll do will destroy my soul, which means more than the land." As a person that holds public office, this struck me deeply. The human condition is a complex thing. I was reminded of a workshop I had participated in, run by Simon Longstaff from the St. James Ethics Centre. Simon showed some footage from an American documentary about a terrible war crime committed by the Americans in Vietnam. It interviewed some of the soldiers who participated. One soldier said no. His ethics would not allow it. But it also showed the long-term effects on those that did. When they were asked why, they said, "We did not raise our voices at the time. It seemed like the thing to do." And they will never find grace. The point I make is, decisions we will take today travel with us forever. Let me conclude by making a couple of points. On the front cover of the Yalda Crossing, Ross Fitzgerald, who joins us, described it as compelling and important. And yes, Ross, it is. The Yalda Crossing is also wonderfully penned. The last conversation between young James Beckett and Lancaster on why we love children is deeply memorable. They talk about children that live near Lancaster's house. He doesn't know them, but he loves them. And they came to the conclusion, everyone, is that we love children because they have done no evil and can't imagine evil being done. The University of Queensland Press have made a fine decision to publish this book. And Noel Beddoe, you have done much more than a fine job in writing it. I can only conclude by saying that in Noel's book, he depicts the spirit bird of the Wiradjuri as being the Jirijiri. The Jirijiri keep them to the laws of the army and to have lives of dignity and grace. Noel Beddoe, the Jirijiri must sing around you as well. It gives me the greatest pleasure to launch The Yalda Crossing by Noel Beddoe, published by Queensland University Press, a dear friend indeed.
You have been listening to the Sydney Institute podcast. This podcast is proudly brought to you through the support of Microsoft Australia. We hope you enjoyed listening and can join us again soon.